unregulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Welcome to another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. My name is Cam Edwards. Glad you're with me on the program today. Holy moly, what a it is a historic day today. The Department of Justice did not request a stay in Judge Hendricks' decision in the Jensen and Silencer Shop cases. The deadline was yesterday, and without that request, the stay was lifted. Judge Hendricks' decision is now in place, and what does that mean? The judge said that the registration requirements, the Form 4, Form 1 requirements, all of those regulations that are tied into the NFA making and transfer taxes that have been zeroed out, all of those are illegal, invalid now, because Congress isn't using its taxing authority on those NFA items. So we're talking about suppressors, short-barreled firearms, any other weapons. Now, having said that, the judge also imposed some limitations on his injunction. So it applies to the individual plaintiffs, it applies to the organizational plaintiffs, it applies to the businesses that are plaintiffs in this cases and their customers, but it does not apply to everybody, everywhere. There are still state laws that come into play. So there is a lot of confusion surrounding, okay, what is the law today, right? And the honest answer is, in many cases, we're not quite sure. In other cases, what the law is depends on where you live. Or it depends on what company you might use to try to purchase one of these NFA items, or all of the above, right? So we're going to talk about this with Ben Sanderson from Gun Owners of America, one of the named plaintiffs in the Silencer Shop case. I'm also going to be talking with John Comerford, NRA ILA's executive director, the Texas State Rifle Association, one of the organizational plaintiffs. TSRA is the NRA's Texas State affiliate. And so they're actually now offering a joint membership because, again, members of these organizations are included in the injunction as well. And you don't have to just be a member at the time that this lawsuit was filed. Future members are parties to this injunction as well. So that is important to note. Anyway, we'll start the conversation with Ben Sanderson. A great conversation. GOA, of course, involved in transferring a suppressor without filling out the Form 4, Form 1, without submitting to a registry. Happened at 12:01 a.m. as Brandon Herrera and Texas State Representative Wes Verdell, both receiving their suppressors from Silencer Shop. And again, an historic first time in 92 years that the NFA did not apply to that transfer. Ben Sanderson joined us to talk about that moment and what comes next. Take a look and a listen. Ben, thanks so much for coming on the program. Congratulations.
Thank you, Cam. Really great to be here. And also, we're super excited about our win last night. We're looking forward to the rest of the work that comes with gutting the NFA completely.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this really is a historic day. In general, I know that there are going to be, you know, some gun owners out there who really aren't impacted by the DOJ's decision not to request a stay in the Jensen and Silencer Shop cases because of the way state law operates, right? And that's one of the things, I guess, that we should probably talk about. As important as this victory is, A, the DOJ could still file an appeal, right? They didn't do so in time to prevent this stay from being lifted. But we also have to talk about the scope of the injunction, right? Because this is not a universal injunction. This doesn't just get rid of the NFA's registration requirements, all the paperwork requirements for every gun owner across the country.
Yeah, you're exactly right. As part of the Supreme Court's precedent in Trump v. Casas, universal nationwide injunctions are no longer a thing. I want to point out that we did ask that this not be limited to GOA members. We always ask in our lawsuit, hey, we want this to be a nationwide thing. We want all gun owners, all American citizens to have the right to keep and bear arms, not just GOA members. Unfortunately, the new precedent that a lot of these district courts are setting is that they're limiting it only to the plaintiffs. So that's why it's you have to be a GOA member, you have to be a customer of Silencer Shop or PSA or BNT and all of those other groups as well. And it's not, again, this is not us asking for it. We're not trying to, you know, gatekeep the Second Amendment. We would never do that. That's just the result of the judicial rulings that have happened in the last 2 years.
Right. Yeah. And the other organizational plaintiffs, I believe, Texas State Rifle Association, Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep Our Arms, where I am a unpaid board member. So if you're a member of those organizations, you're covered, but you're only covered, again, if you're buying from one of these commercial plaintiffs, right? You can't just go to your local gun store and say, hey, I'm a GOA member. Give me a suppressor. I don't want to fill out the form for, because that FFL is not covered under the scope of the injunction.
Right now, we're waiting for some more guidance from DOJ and the ATF.
Okay.
But the what has been put out by our partners, in our case, Silencer Shop, as well as Palmetto State Armory, is that, yes, it's the best possible way to ensure you're covered is to buy a product from them as a GOA member.
Okay. You know, when we talk about how long this law has been in existence, again, 90 plus years now, right? 1934. It is amazing that it took this long to get this progress. And I spoke with Representative Andrew Clyde yesterday, and, you know, there is still more work to be done. You know, he and dozens of members of Congress are calling on DOJ to codify the judge's decision here to apply it nationwide. So we don't have this, you know, am I covered? Am I not covered? We don't have all those questions and confusion. But there is more work to be done as well. I mean, you know, clearly this covers suppressors, short-barreled firearms, any other weapons. For most people, again, the judge was very specific in the terms of his injunction that if you're a party to the Jensen lawsuit, I don't believe that the any other weapon language covers you. But if you are a party to the Silencer Shop lawsuit, you're a Silencer Shop customer, as you say, a Palmetto State Armory customer, then the any other weapon language does apply. You know, is this something that at some point Congress needs to step in and clear up this confusion? I mean, we're waiting for guidance from the courts, but it seems like Congress has a responsibility to act here as well.
Yeah, I think the Congress's intent, especially during last year, during the reconciliation fight, where Representative Clyde was our champion, he really was responsible for pushing all of this to where we are now with getting rid of the tax stamp and also fighting to end the registration. Our original intent, and Representative Clyde and all of the members who signed on to the bill, their original intent was to get rid of the registration as well, because it's a tax form. The registration was registering that you had paid the tax. Now, unfortunately, the Senate parliamentarian decided to strike that language, which is quite interesting because it's seemingly the only excise tax that has been found to not be taxy enough for the Byrd rule. We're mixing in a little bit of procedural knowledge here. But the Senate parliamentarian struck down that, saying it was too policy related, despite the fact that these Form 4s, these Form 1s are part of showing that you've paid a tax. So now that's exactly why we had our case, is because we no longer had to pay any tax and we're still filling out this registration requirement. That's why the judge struck down the registration requirement. He said there's no tax being paid. There's no Congress's original justification for the National Firearms Act being as part of their taxing power no longer holds here. So Congress's original intent was, in fact, to get rid of both the tax stamp and the registration forms. So I get exactly what you're saying. On top of that, the letter that Representative Clyde just put out, along with about 50 members of Congress and of the Senate, saying like, hey, DOJ, don't appeal this case. Instead, you should work on a nationwide rulemaking to get rid of this process entirely. So Congress is definitely right there with us. You know, as a federal lobbyist, I'm a little bit biased because so, these guys I know are aligned with us. They wanted the exact same things we're doing. And definitely this is them showing that they're actively involved in the fight and they want to continue fighting for us.
Yeah. I remember having the conversations with Representative Clyde as the One Big Beautiful Bill Act was making its way through the House and the Senate. And, you know, the argument that you just described, the argument that he made, is essentially the argument that Judge Hendricks adopted in his ruling, right? And it is straightforward. I mean, if there is no more tax, And the NFA was established through Congress's taxing authority. Okay, well, then how can all of this other, you know, stuff that's affiliated with the tax, associated with the tax, the registry that shows you've paid the tax, how can all that continue to exist if the tax no longer exists? And I guess DOJ's argument was, well, it exists, it's just $0, right? And that was not an argument that that fared well before Judge Hendricks.
No, 100%. On top of that, the DOJ wanted to say that SOT taxes were part of the were the reason that we needed to keep a $0 tax stamp around. I'm glad that the judge ruled in our favor because a $0 tax stamp is everyone looked at it and it was like, okay, it's great. I don't have to pay $200 anymore. But hey, one of the bigger issues is we're still having to go through, provide all this extra information. When instead, obviously, as it's been laid out by the court, is like a 4473, if we're following the GCA, it's perfectly fine as well. Yeah. And obviously, we're pushing as hard as we can to get more information out of DOJ, out of ATF, to work with them on a nationwide plan for a process going forward, extending it to all members. But we're obviously, it's DC. Things take a little bit of time. Like you said, it's 92 years since the NFA was first introduced. So it's we've made a lot of progress in the last, I want to say, 5 years on the National Firearms Act. But there's always more work to be done.
Yeah, absolutely. And I understand. You know, we want things done right away because we're talking about a fundamental right here. So, you know, justice delayed is justice denied. But I would ask people to have a little bit of patience with your local gun stores, with, you know, DOJ and ATF, honestly, because it does take some time to figure out how you can make this work. You know, given the court ruling, given what Congress has not done yet, right? But also, you mentioned something about the 4473s. The gun control lobby is going to go nuts over this. I mean, we know this. And they're going to, you know, frankly, I think we're about to see a misinformation campaign rolled out trying to, you know, confuse and scare the bejesus out of Americans who don't own firearms. So even with this injunction in place, if I want to buy a suppressor through Palmetto State Armory, I'm going to have to go through a background check, right? Because it's still a suppressor, still considered a firearm under federal law.
Yep, that's correct. Yes.
Okay. Same with the short-barreled firearms. If I want to get a short-barreled rifle, still got to go through a background check.
Yes. We are waiting on some more information and some clarity on a few parts on the SBRs and the SBSs.
Okay.
But essentially, yes, the 4473 is the new background check for these not formerly NFA firearms. It's fun to say that.
Yeah. Because I mean, you know as well as I do, Ben, I mean, they're going to say, oh, this it makes more dangerous criminals going to be able to get a hold of these things. And I just want folks to know, you know, here's the reality here. And, you know, again, if you are buying one of these items, you should know, yeah, you're still going to have to go through a background check. It's not, you know, like going to a garage sale and picking up a book or something where you can just walk away. So and that, again, is federal law. That and then we get into the state laws, because there are some state laws that do require you to fill out the NFA forms in order for you to purchase one of these items. There are other states where these items are still banned under state law, right?
100%. Yeah. And even delving a little bit deeper into the states, let's say you have to fill out the form four, form one. There's some different verbiage between some of the states. I apologize. I'm not a state level lobbyist, sure. But obviously it's check with your own local laws. Some will say that you need to comply with the National Firearms Act or with federal law. And others will say you have to register them in accordance with federal law. And so that there is some ambiguity there. We're working on it. I know a lot of the other lawyers are working on it. But I think it's important to point out, like, hey, in a lot of these states that have these need to comply with federal law statutes, they're pro-gun states. They're states where you can conceal carry, where you have there's constitutional carry in quite a few of them. But that is also where we also need to focus some of our attack is we need to talk to legislators. It's like, hey, these state laws no longer hold any power. In fact, you are stopping citizens from being able to purchase firearms that they have their Second Amendment right to own. So we need to work on getting rid of those. I know that we've had a few state legislators on Twitter talk about how they immediately want to get rid of their state's laws that are preventing people from buying guns, buying, you know, SBRs, SBSs, and silencers. So there is another, there's a lot more work to be done. Unfortunate, there's no no rest for us here.
Yeah. But
it's definitely a new avenue, and progress is going to be incremental. It's going to be slow, but it is still progress. And that's the amazing part.
Yeah, absolutely. And in those states where, you know, these items are still banned outright, I think now there is an even a better argument that these arms are actually in common use, that these bans are unconstitutional. And again, that's going to be a whole other legal fight. So you're right. It, you know, in a way, I mean, even this huge step is an incremental step, but that's how things work. This is still a huge step in the right direction. And I, again, I think that this gives us momentum going forward. So, you know, August 13th, 2026, it really is an historic day for Second Amendment advocates and gun owners across the country, Ben.
100%. We were talking last night about how, you know, some of our kids are going to be asking us questions like, oh, you had to pay $200 for a suppressor? You had to pay for a tax stamp?
So right. That's
always great.
It is. Well, listen, man, I appreciate you coming on the program. Thanks for everything you and the folks at Gun Owners of America are doing. And I look forward to doing this again in the near future.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. Take care.
My thanks to Ben for joining us on the program, and looking forward to talking to him again in the future. One correction, when I was talking about the organizational plaintiffs, GOA, Texas State Rifle Association, Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, but also FPC Action Foundation. I forgot about those folks, and I don't want to leave them out because every one of these organizations instrumental in these lawsuits and instrumental in getting the decision that we got from Judge Hendricks there in the great state of Texas. All right, so let's continue the conversation with NRA ILA Executive Director John Comerford. Again, the Texas State Rifle Association, one of those organizational plaintiffs. TSRA is the state affiliate for the NRA. And so NRA members have the opportunity to actually join the Texas State Rifle Association. TSRA members have the opportunity to join the NRA. And if you're not a member of either, you've got the opportunity to join both. Again, be covered under the scope of this injunction. Anyway, great conversation with John as well. Take a look and a listen. John, good morning. Thanks so much for coming on the program today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Always happy to be here.
Well, it is a, it's a celebration. I know there are a lot of questions. Spoke earlier with Ben Sanderson from Gun Owners of America, one of the organizational plaintiffs in the Jensen silencer shop cases. Texas State Rifle Association, which is the NRA's state affiliate in Texas, another one of the organizational plaintiffs. And I mentioned this at the beginning of the show, but you guys are offering right now joint memberships to TSRA and NRA so that members will be covered, right? Because under the terms of this injunction, if you are a member of an organizational plaintiff, not just at the time the lawsuit was filed, but going forward, then you are included in the scope of this injunction.
Well, yeah, I mean, exciting times for gun owners and NFA. You know, it's the time has finally come to take down the NFA, and NRA's work and the One Big Beautiful Bill and zeroing out that tax is what made this possible. So let's give just a little roundup quickly. So NRA filed a case in the Eighth Circuit, which is the Brown case, along with our friends from Firearms Policy Coalition, SAF, American Suppressor, and others. And we're a named plaintiff there. You can only be a named plaintiff in one case, but we wanted to have a three-headed monster for the best chance for nationwide universal injunction on this. So we have a Sixth Circuit case as well. Then we have our Fifth Circuit case, which is Jensen. So yes, we filed that through our state association, Texas State Rifle Association. But let's look at who relief applies to. You know, a lot of folks aren't talking about this. It is a confusing time and things are going to develop. So first and foremost, consult with your counsel if you're an FFL holder before you decide to do this, and your local state rules. But upstream commerce is more important than an individual being a member of a named plaintiff. So if you go to a dealer who buys their products from Silencer Shop, one of the named plaintiffs, Silencer Co. or Palmetto or B&T, or more importantly, that dealer is a business member of Texas State Rifle Association, which is only $150 a year, or a member of FRAC or any of the other groups, that dealer is covered. So if you're a customer, you don't need to worry about anything else. Your dealer is covered, so that transaction is covered. The individual memberships certainly provide additional avenues there and get into more home manufacturing and some other things. But most importantly, it's your dealer needs to be covered on the upstream side of commerce, so behind the counter. So that's first and foremost. So I think you're seeing a lot of that right now.
That's usually important, John. I mean, I don't want to interrupt, but there are, and Judge Hendricks talked about these commercial plaintiffs, mm-hmm. Palmetto State Armory, Silencer Co. or Silencer Shop, excuse me, and some of these others. But I think it's important what you just said is that because your local FFL is not automatically covered, but if your local gun shop, as you say, if they're a member of FRAC, if they are doing business, if they're getting product from PSA or from Silencer Shop, that business is covered because they're a customer.
That's correct. Right? Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay.
So it's that behind the counter action. So they are they either need to buy from one of those covered companies or simply pay $150 and be a business member of Texas State Rifle Association. That applies on any state across the country where you can transfer these items.
So if you're a West Virginia gun store owner, you can join Texas State Rifle Association as a business member and you're going to be protected?
$150. Wow. Now, again, dealers, look, this is uncharted territory.
Yeah.
We have a district court ruling opinion in Texas. So if you're, you have to look at your own individual risk tolerance. It's one heck of a step forward and one heck of a win. There's definitely more to come, but I encourage dealers to consult with their own legal counsel on what their risk tolerance is. I called four or five dealers this morning in Northern Virginia, even large dealers. No, I couldn't find one that was transferring yet. They may be figuring out that membership. Many are probably waiting for ATF to give guidance to dealers. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that will come. But in the meantime, make sure you get a business membership to TSRA or a member of one of the other groups from the corporate side, or you're buying your products through one of those covered companies. Now, for individuals, there are benefits to being a member, of course, obviously supporting the effort. All of these groups are working together with gun owners' best interests at heart, taking down the NFA. But there may be some implications for making your own SBR at home. There's still a question on the marking requirements and those kinds of things. But you may be able to do that if you're an individual plaintiff, so or an individual member of a plaintiff group. So, NRA and our legal team, they've been at the forefront of this with our partner organizations at FPC, SAF, ASA, in our three-headed monster strategy. And keep in mind, we had a hearing on Monday on our summary judgment motion in the Missouri case. So that decision will be coming soon. Well, we're hoping, just like in Virginia, where there was an initial case that had a much more limited scope of relief, and then the NRA case brought a much broader injunction that blocked Spamberger's gun ban. So we're hoping for broader relief from the Eighth Circuit. But this is exciting times. There's a lot that's going to come out. I understand people having caution, but supporting the groups that got this done is important.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. And, and again, I know that we want answers. We want them right away. But it is going to take, I think, a couple of days, maybe even a little bit longer for the attorneys to figure out what's going on, for the ATF to release its guidance. I'm going to be putting in a call to ATF, and we'll see if we can get Robert Sakata on Cam & Company as soon as that guidance is available, because I know that, and we should talk about this, too. I mean, you talk about the organizations. I think this process is going to be a heck of a lot smoother than it would have been under Joe Biden, under Steve Dettelbach in charge of the ATF, right?
You'd have agents going door to door to try to find these cans that have been transferred. I mean, it's a night and day difference under Todd Blanchard's leadership. Is now Attorney General, and congratulations to him. We're happy to be part of that process to help push him across the line. And with Rob Sakata in there, you're seeing the ATF act completely different. But Cam, I want to just touch on one other thing. There's some of the unknown questions out there. Look, there's some questions related to certain states, and states referring to compliance with the NFA or registration with the NFA. Look, there are five states that there's a real issue where suppressor possession is allowed today. Now, don't get me wrong, we're trying to make sure that the Form 4 process continues in those states so commerce can continue, gun owners can still access these items, can still get their suppressors. And as of today, that's still happening. So if you're in a state where there's a question on this, you can still process a Form 4, buy a suppressor, just like you did yesterday with $0 tax stamp. But Georgia, Michigan, Montana, Ohio, and Oregon, we're working with attorneys generals in those states. We're working with lawmakers, NRA, and our friends at the American Suppressor Association. We're at the forefront of pushing to fix those laws on the books. Now, some of these are not in session. For instance, Montana was out this year. They're in next year. We worked on this in Georgia, and it's going to be a full court press. Going forward, it's going to be a push in Ohio as we get into their lame duck session after the election. So I think you'll see some movement there, but we worked with our friends to get this fixed in South Dakota, knowing that this was a possibility. So these are some of the intricacies and nuances around this, this new world we're in, but it's exciting and we'll get there. But keep in mind, if you're in those states today, you can still buy a suppressor, go to your shop, pay $0 tax. The Form 4 processing, to be honest, is going to get a lot faster. Right. Because there's a lot less demand. So the commerce in the NFA space and the former NFA space, it's encouraging to see these rights being restored that have been taken away for so long.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I mentioned this with Ben as well, but, you know, even in those states that have outright bans on NFA items, gun owners, I still think, should be very, very happy about what's happening, because this now strengthens the argument that, hey, these arms are in common use for lawful purposes, and these bans are unconstitutional, just like a ban on handguns would be, just like we predict the Supreme Court is going to rule a ban on AR-15s, right? A ban on short-barreled firearms, a ban on suppressors, just as violative of our Second Amendment rights as these other bans that have been struck down.
Yeah, and look, if you're listening today and you're in Maryland, you're in Colorado, states like that where you can transfer these items now, you know, make sure you show up this November to the ballot box. Look, Maryland state elections are only every 4 years, and that's this year. This is the year to make a change, make your voice heard, and make it more impossible for them to try to block transfer of these items through legislation in the next session. So there's a few of these states where they're blue states, they're coming up with bad ideas, they haven't touched NFA items. So make your voice heard at the ballot box.
Absolutely. John, again, appreciate you joining us on the program. Congratulations. And
and
we keep going forward.
And just to kind of close, Cam, you know, look, if you want to be extra secure, we have that dual membership with TSRA and NRA at a discount that's available at NRA.org/Jensen in the name of the case that we filed. And you can go right to that link and get that business membership for FFLs who want to make sure they're covered from TSRA. So exciting times ahead. Appreciate you having me on. And I hope gunners out there stay tuned and look to NRA. We put out a comprehensive guidance on this last night. It's right at the top of NRAILA.org. You can find it. It's not legal advice, but it's great guidance on where we stand today and what's coming and what some of the unknowns are.
Excellent. John, thanks so much for your time, sir. Look forward to talking again very soon.
Yeah, great to see you, Cam.
And thanks to John Comerford for joining us on the program. Boy, it's a busy show today. I kind of like it when we have multiple guests. Because we did have multiple guests, though, I tell you what, this is getting a little lengthy, a little bit longer than we normally do. So I'm going to make the executive decision of skipping our armed citizen segment, our good deed of the day, and our recidivist report. We'll pick those up again on Monday. But again, I think this is cause for celebration, even for those of you folks living in states where state law gets in the way. This is a really big step. You know, again, there are those red states that it's going to be, I think, a little bit easier to change the law to comport with this decision. In these blue states, I think it is now going to be easier to challenge the prohibitions on these NFA items. And again, all of that with the caveat that the DOJ could actually still try to appeal this decision. They have, I believe, 52 days now to decide whether or not to appeal. The 7-day window that Judge Hendricks imposed was essentially to keep the stay in place. And DOJ could come out today or tomorrow and they could say, you know what, we've decided we want to appeal. Judge Hendricks, we are going to ask you to stay your decision. Whether or not the judge would grant that motion at this point, now that the stay has been lifted, very much an open question. It can happen. Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, I suppose, could impose a stay. We saw that, you know, in California, in the Ninth Circuit with the Freedom Week in Duncan versus Bonta, when Judge Roger Benitez refused to issue a stay, said, no, the bans on magazines are unconstitutional, and gun stores across California sold perhaps as many as a million magazines in a week before the Ninth Circuit stepped in and said, hang on here, this law is still in force. I don't think that's as likely to happen with the Fifth Circuit, but it could theoretically happen. And again, DOJ has not officially said we're not going to appeal. What DOJ has said is that we're studying our options, basically. So I hope that that means they won't appeal going forward. But there is still, you know, almost 2 months for the DOJ to decide whether or not to officially drop defending these provisions of the NFA or to take this case up to the Fifth Circuit. So, again, there's a lot playing out. I know that we want things to be simple. We want to understand what the law is. We want the law to change for the better. But it is going to take some time for all of this to shake out. The good news is that when all of this shakes out, gun owners across the country are going to be in a much better position than we were in yesterday. All right, that has got to do it for this edition of Bearing Arms, Cam & Company. I want to thank you, as always, for being a part of the program. I'm looking forward to seeing you back here again on Monday. Who knows what good news we might have to talk about then. Between now and then, though, be sure to check out BearingArms.com. We're keeping you up to date on all of the latest Second Amendment news and information from across the nation. And there are a lot of other important court cases going on. Actually, we've got a new one filed in Colorado by Alan Beck. We've got an existing case out of Colorado where Colorado Shooting Sports Association now asking for an injunction against that permit to purchase law that took effect on August the 1st. And we've got a lot of other stories to cover for you as well. It's all there waiting for you at BearingArms.com. Have a great rest of your work week. Hopefully a fantastic weekend in store as well. We'll see you back here again on Monday. Until then, be well, be safe, and be free.